Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Before we jump into the topic today, because clit happens, I just want to give you guys a little story, because I don't always give silly stories about my life, but I had one today. I came across a situation today that I've never had to do. At first, my heart was like racing, and I was like a little bit afraid, because I thought, uh-oh, something here is going to happen that I've never had happen before. And so I gave a blowjob for a cop. Probably not the kind you guys are thinking, but good for you. It was actually the first time I ever had to do one of those like blow in to see if you're drinking, which is hilarious because like the amount of alcohol I've consumed in the last 12 years could fit into like a glass. And like that's about as much alcohol as I can smell alcohol and get drunk. So I just stay away from it. But yeah, as a result, the cop, as I was like, hey, I've never done this before. I've been driving forever. I'm like 50. This is crazy. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm almost excited. She literally says to me, now you can take it off your bucket list and you can keep this to prove that you did it. So it was a little thing that you blow into. So now I have this thing that I blew for the cop. Yes, I did. Did a little blowjob for a cop. It's the only time I've ever done a blowjob for a cop of that kind, or any kind of blowjob for a cop. I've never had a cop lover, now that I think about it. So just saying, that was my experience today. All right, kids, we are going to have a fun conversation today. We are talking about the clitoris, the very misunderstood, the very shamed. All these things have happened to the sweet clitoris. And why? Why hath everyone forsaken the clitoris? It's not cool. We're going to be talking about that magical little spot of the body that literally has no other function other than to give us pleasure that we know of. We actually really don't know. And one of the reasons why we don't know is because it kind of got taken out of medical books. It was actually like removed from Grey's Anatomy in 1948. And prior to that, I think it was like 1559 is when there was like discussion around the clitoris. But even before that, like 500 AD, there were discussions on what is the purpose of this thing, the clitoris. And there were also clitoridectomies happening way back then. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. And we're also going to talk about the anatomy of the clitoris because it's highly misunderstood. And we're going to talk about what we can do with these friendly, fun body parts that are so delightful. And we're going to talk about some sad things around the clitoris too, because there are some devastatingly sad things that happen to clitorises in the world. So we're going to talk about all of that. First, I want to get clear with you guys so that you know actually what we are talking about as the clitoris. Most people who see the clitoris think it's the, you know, that little spot that's, you know, when you look at the anatomy of genitalia that has a vulva, there's, you know, at the like top near the pubic bone, there's this little nub. Whatever. People are like, hey, that's it. That's the clitoris. That's just the tip of the iceberg, my friends. The clitoris is more like the shape of a turkey wishbone. And if you've ever gotten one of those turkey wishbones, you'll notice that there's like also a little thing that protrudes off of a turkey wishbone. This coming from a vegetarian. But I know what turkey wishbones look like. I ate turkeys when I was little and chickens, and always like pulled the turkey or chicken wishbones apart when I was, you know, it was like the fight over the wishbone. So it's kind of like that shape. You got that fun, just like if you were standing it on its if you were standing it up, and it would be kind of like an upside down V, and then at where the points come together at that upside down V, there's a little nub. So for those of you watching on video, I just created a puppet from my fingers and a pen, 'cause yeah, I'm that cool. All right, if you're not watching on video, use your fine imagination and just imagine that my fingers are pointing downward, two of them, in an upside down V shape, and I stuck a pen at the joining area with a little nib on it. That's what we're talking about, but that clitoris actually wraps right around into the labia majora, so the big labia. And to like get a visual, you can, if you're on our shows, we don't pop up visuals, but by all means, go check out a visual of this, because I think it may surprise you at how both the anatomy of it and the size of it. And then if you want to get really crazy, throw up a comparative photo of what a penis is comprised of. Because in actuality, while we're forming in utero, those tissues, the penis and the clitoris, are composed of the same tissues. So there's a really great book called Come As You Are. And in it, there are discussions on many discussions, many great, lots of great information in there. One of the things she talks about in there is how we are all basically made of the same body parts, they're just arranged differently. And this is one of those fine examples of we are all made of the same body parts, just arranged differently. One of the interesting things I found today, so I hadn't like dived into any research on clitorises for a few years because, you know, I talk about a lot of things on this show and sometimes I feel like I might be repeating myself. But what reminded me today that you can never actually fully repeat yourself is A, I'll never say the same things because it's kind of off the top of my head. 99% of it. I have some notes here I like talk about, you know, this. What is a clitoris? What is it comprised of? Structures, blah, blah, blah. So I have some notes just to keep me on track. But what I also realized today in my research is that us clitoris owners have gained 2,281 nerve endings in the last couple of years. We didn't even know about. And why is that? So one of the reasons that prior to, I think it was 2022, 2023, the information on clitorises and how many nerve endings are in a clitoris were they were actually done by Thomas Lowry and Thea Lowry. Could be Thea or Thea. It's hard to say because I have a family member with the same name and her name is Thea. But anyhow, so the idea that the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings comes from a 1976 book by Thomas Lowry and Thea Lowry, who referenced a study on cows. So since 1976, that 8,000 nerve endings number was actually based on cow clitorises, bovine clitorises, and not human clitorises. I don't know how, okay, this is 49 years ago. How did it take us so long to actually go in and check out human anatomy? Like, I'm sure people are still donating their bodies to science. There are definitely people who are getting surgeries done for gender affirmation. So you'd be going in and you'd probably see things. And I get that, you know, who has the time to count the 10,281 nerve endings? As I was saying this to my husband earlier, I walked in the bedroom and I was like, guess what? I just got 2,281 more of. And he's like, I don't know. I think he was hoping it was dollars, but I was like, clitoral nerve endings. And he's like, what? He's like, did nobody count them until like recent? I'm like, no, before that, like all of our nerve ending information was based on bovine nerves. And I, even as a sex and intimacy coach, never was told in my training that all that research that we've been quoting to people for all these years about 8,000 nerve endings, including sweet Regina Thomas Hauer, in her book Pussy, a Reclamation, who is amazing at research and gathering information, also has 8,000 nerve endings in her book. And when I went with my friends to one of her conferences in New York, there were shirts that said 8,000 nerve endings. Guys, it's to 10,281 on average. On average. So some people might have more, some people might have less, but this is an average number. And they're specifically in the dorsal nerve of the clitoris. That's phenomenal. So I don't know about you out there who have clitorises. Did you just get like freaking excited that we have 2,281 nerve endings? My husband's other commentary on that was, with that many nerve endings, how come it's so hard to like turn a woman on? And I'm like, because it actually has to do with communication, and it has to do with a lot of it doesn't actually have to do with method so much. It has to do with feeling calm. And a lot of women have had traumas and their bodies don't feel calm enough. I'm like, thus, we're here to have communication and teach. So he was really cute about that. I was like, what women have you been playing with that are so difficult to turn on? Anyway, I'm hoping his references are from the past. Not sure what's happening there, but anyhow, maybe I'm just not loud enough. I don't know. Anyhow, funny but true story. That all happened today. Not only did I give the blowjob for a cop, but I had a fun conversation about clitoral nerve endings with my husband. So all this information, these 10,281 nerve endings, I don't know if you know this, but this information only became presented at a conference in 2022. And it marked the first time that a human clitoral nerve count had been done. And that was done by Blair Peters at Oregon Health and Science University, found that the human clitoris actually has an average of 10,281 nerve fibers. Do, 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 do. You know what? The penis that often gets kicked or that's actually like when somebody's hitting the gonads or the testicles, it's probably more painful. But the penis only has 4,000 nerve endings in the glands, so the head, which is considered the most sensitive area. So, you know what? We actually have more. We the clitoral owners have more. So I'm thinking that time to celebrate. Cheers. Cheers to all of you clitoral havers out there. We just gained so many nerve endings. Can't believe that I haven't done a show, obviously, in over 3 or 4 years, specifically on the clitoris, because this information just became like in my awareness. So there you go. And I haven't heard, and also I guess the books I have are also haven't had like reprints since then either. So there you go. We also have some things that go on. So now we know the basics of the clitoris. It kind of looks like a wishbone. It's comprised of 10,281 nerves on average. Awesome. It kind of wraps around the labia majora. And kind of internal as well. So it gets to stimulate even parts of the opening of the vagina. So because of the way it wraps around in the labia majora. So we also need to talk about some of the horrifying things that have happened to clitorises, because there are horrifying things that have happened due to illness or due to social societal beliefs. And I don't know, I think we're just going to talk about some fun things. Whatever flies, whatever hits and flies around, we'll grab onto that. I also promised you guys information on mapping pleasure and some fun like that. So we are all going to have some fun with that. And as in the comments, one of the comments says we should all rub one out in celebration. Absolutely. Maybe after the show, rub one out. Unless you're, home and you're feeling like as long as you're not driving right now or operating any heavy machinery and you feel like you can rub one out right now, go ahead. I won't be here in my hands, not rubbing one out right now. But if you can, go for it. Celebrate those extra nerve endings today. Woohoo! We are going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone Radio Show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're talking all about the clit, because clit happens and there is magic in them, their nerves. Whew. So for those of you who love the show, and maybe this is your first time listening and you're like, woo, talking about clits, loving it. Tell me more. I want to know more. Or maybe you've been an avid listener for ages and you just want to connect with me. Feel free to do so. I have had a lot of different topics on here, talking about anything from trauma recovery to historical findings on sex toys, and we talk about psychology, anthropology, sociology, history. I don't know, we bring it all together here on the Pleasure Zone. So if there's anything that you would like a contribution for, if you would like to get on a call, you can always go to my website, milicajelinic.com. You can also go over there and just grab one of my freebies. My freebie on there right now is my do's, don'ts, maybes list. So or yes, no's, maybes. I don't know. Yes, no's, maybes is what I called it. So the things that you might really enjoy, the things that you maybe don't ever want to do, and then the things you might want to do. It helps as a conversation starter so that you can get the conversation going with your partner or partners on the things that you like, because sometimes those conversations are awkward. So this really helps to open the door to be able to talk about that. So our friendly clitoris, that we just in 2022 got the stats on the fact that it is has more many more nerve endings than we ever knew, is now like far ahead of the penis in terms of nerve endings, with in the tip of the penis at 4,000 nerve endings, where the clitoris has 10,281. So where is that hole? I did a show a few episodes ago called the orgasm gap. If you want to know why, that question that, you know, my husband's like, so with that many nerve endings, why is it so hard for women? I often say to my husband, you could have listened to my show. Podcasts are not his thing because he's quite hearing impaired. So they're not his thing. So he would have a hard time listening to my show. So I usually have to write him notes on things and then he gets it. So when communication isn't always about talking, communication is about bringing your thoughts and ideas up to be able to then work with them, right? So everybody has a different method of communication. So we talked about the anatomy of the clitoris. We also talked about how the clitoris was shunned for a long time, the shunning of the clitoris through, medical books, shunned the clitoris for a number of years. So the clitoris was removed, or shall we say, like really significantly minimized in one of the most influential anatomy textbooks ever, which was Gray's Anatomy. And that happened specifically on the 25th edition, which was published in 1948. And that was under the editorship of Dr. Charles Mayo Goss. And he omitted any mention or depiction of the clitoris. The omission was part of a broader trend of minimizing or ignoring the clitoris in anatomical and medical literature. It was a trend that has only recently begun to be seriously addressed. So, 1948, that's the year my mom was born. In 1948, my grandfather, no, 47, 1947, was it 47? Maybe it was 48. My grandpa was a doctor and he graduated that year. So his information in textbooks would have been skewed, or you would have had his one textbook say one thing and then his other textbook say another thing. Mind you, I don't ever remember my grandpa talking about clitorises like ever. If I ever wanted to know stuff, he would just pass me a medical textbook to look at things. And that was like my education. And then if I had further questions that I didn't feel too scared to ask, I would ask him. Most of my questions involved discussing cysts and things like elephantitis of the testicle, which the image of the guy with elephantitis of the testicle is burned into my brain. Elephantitis is like a giant parasite, and he had it in his testicle. Anyway, off that disgusting note, we're back to the clitoris because the clitoris is magnificent and it has his absolutely rocked world. It has been put into art. It has been revered and it has been shunned. It has had the whole gamut, far more so than its counterpart, the penis, who has, I don't know, but maybe I will do a show about penises in general. I did one years ago about penis size, doesn't matter. That was like in one of my first years. But to actually look, and a few other things, I've done specific shows on penises around erectile dysfunction and things like that. Now, with women having what would be the equivalent of erectile dysfunction, sometimes there is a significant loss of feeling in those 10,281 nerves. Sometimes from trauma, sometimes from doing other things, like could it be damage related? So, and there could also be other things where there can be different anomalies, like birth anomalies, that could cause problems in the clitoris. So when we look at the difference between, and I'm not, this isn't show is not about penises, but I'm just using a comparison because anatomically they originate from the same tissues. That when we look at how much the clitoris has been ignored or sort of revered in art for a while, or feared, maybe feared in art and then ignored. And I think that the same has not been true for the penis. And I'm not saying this is the patriarchy. I'm saying it was a lack of information. That's what I'm going to go with. Because the lack of information might be because nobody valued it. That could be part of it. The lack of information could also be because nobody could understand what it was for. And for a long time, nobody really understood the point of the clitoris. Like, what is it? So we don't know what it's for. Why talk about it? It's not causing problems like other vestigial things could cause, like an appendix. If like an appendix erupts or something. So some of the earliest descriptions of a clitoris, but they didn't really fully understand the entire anatomy of it. They way back, there's actually pictures of them that were done in like, I'm talking like 500 AD. There's some really old art that's got images of clitorises in it. So the clitoris itself, the word clitoris, is said to have derived from the Greek, and I'm probably going to bash this word. So I've had this before when I've said something Greek on the show, and then I've actually had listeners go, "That's not what it is." I'm like, "Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not Greek. I'm Serbian. Our languages are very different." So the clitoris is said to derive from the Greek word kleitoris. Kleitoris? Kleitoris. And it is considered an erogenous organ in female mammals. So we're mammals, humans are mammals. So there you go. Cool, guys, it's a hot day for me right now. So if you're hearing me take some deep breaths, it's not because I'm masturbating behind the scenes, it's because I'm sweating. Woo! Sweating, and then we throw on a sweaty topic. This is awesome. I'm always up for a challenge. So, okay. So we're back to depictions, early depictions of the clitoris. And I'm just looking for, I had something written down that gave me some info here I wanted to share with you guys, but I'll come back to that. So there are all kinds of images, though, historically, that depict what is actually quite amazingly the entire structure of a clitoris. So what's surprising is to me that they didn't just draw it as like a little nib or a line opening. They kind of had an idea of, that it was more like the shape of the wishbone that I talked about. It's kind of amazing that they knew that, especially when these were not times when people were necessarily doing anatomical drawings. So they had depictions even of things like the cura, which are the long sides of the, so like when you do the V upside down. And it's like if you do the V upside down with your fingers, it would be where your fingers are. And then the glans is the visible part, right? So the little nib that has it has a hood. So that is what most people think is the clitoris, but it's actually much longer and goes along the sides, has the crura, which are the two elongated branching sides of clitoris. And they extend all the way down and along into the vaginal walls. I think it's amazing that there were depictions of that because these were times where anatomy was a curiosity, definitely in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, but also the fact that they cared enough to talk about women's anatomy is fascinating to me because often women were just kind of discarded and written off anatomically. And there were also ideas of like the correct body or how body should look. And there were some interesting ideas on how a body should look. And some of them in the like 17th and 18th century had some pretty disturbing ideas about how a clitoris should look. And if a clitoris was large enough to be visible, they believed, and this is like in the 19th century, so 1800s, around between 1812 to 1870s. They believed that if your clitoris was large enough to be seen, you should have it operated on. It should always be removed at birth so that you can't see it. So they weren't removing the entire clitoris, but they were certainly trying to make it not so visible or obvious. So there was a belief that the clitoris at that time, in the 17th century as well, anatomists believed that the clitoris was, well, they actually were divided on. Some anatomists believed that the clitoris was a normal female organ, and a whole bunch of them believed that it wasn't. And so they believed that as this abnormality, this clitoris abnormality, that if it was visible, too visible, to be seen with the naked eye, it should be removed. And removed at birth, right? So this is kind of like when this also happens in some cultures, and I'm not naming the cultures because I don't want to be like rude about it. If you want to, I don't feel like it's necessary to name the cultures. Just know that this still goes on in the world. Women have their clitorises removed, sometimes at birth, sometimes when they're older. I personally have like a 2 degree separation from somebody who had that done to them. They were not born, they were born in a country in Africa. And they were born in a religion where that was normal. So, and that person is a few years younger than me. So she's in her 40s, and that still goes on in some countries of the world to this day. Highly disturbing. This show should come with a warning, maybe. Warning, clitoridectomies to be discussed. So we will talk more about why else a clitoris might be removed when we come back from this commercial break. But then I also want to give you guys some fun tools to play with clitorises as well. But I do like to give you kind of a round, good, well-rounded information on this. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today we've been talking all about the clitoris, because clit happens, and that clitoris there is magical. The clitoris with those 10,281 nerve endings is really magical. I know I kind of briefly touched on some surgeries that have been done to clitorises so that you can dampen the feeling or dampen the look of the clitoris being like, oh, it's too big and it's obtrusive and it looks like a tiny penis. So I have to get rid of this. That can happen. You can have like an enlarged clitoris to the point where it can look like a tiny penis. So there have been surgeries done. And sometimes there's also, when babies are born, sometimes there's like a misgendering of babies that happens too. And some people are born intersex, so the genitals are more ambiguous and it's not that easy to tell at first. So one of the things I didn't mention was the surgeries that were being done to actually increase pleasure. So, which brings another thought to mind, which I'll remember to bring up. So one of the surgeries that was done it was around the 1930s, there was a French psychoanalyst, Marie Bonaparte, and she studied African clitoral surgical practices. And what those practices often did was remove the clitoral hood, which is different than removing the clitoris, because there are other practices that fully remove the clitoris and like scrape it away with a rock. It's highly unhygienic. The fact that anybody survives the surgeries They're not really surgeries. They're more like ceremonies, and they're like violent. But they've been going on for hundreds and possibly over well over 1,000 years. And it's cultural, and I don't know, the human rights on that are, I think there's massive human rights concerns. These people are not choosing it, they're not consenting to it, or they're consenting under misguided conception that they have to do it because in order to be part of their culture, they need to do that. It's I can't really say because I'm not part of that culture. But anyway, so we have Marie Bonaparte, and she studied these practices, and what she found in these practices was that the removal of the clitoral hood actually created more sensation in the clitoris. So can you just kind of imagine, like, if you have, for example, if you still have a foreskin on a penis and you retract it, it's very sensitive, right? If you had your foreskin removed as a child, you wouldn't probably notice much difference because it's all you've ever had. But in pulling down the foreskin, you find that there are sensitive areas there that don't often get touched. So if you were to remove the clitoral hood, which is kind of like similar to a foreskin, if you were to remove that, then the glands itself are just exposed, right? So if depending on the size of your clitoris, it could be rubbing against your clothes, or could be stimulated by your labia, lots of different ways it could be stimulated. So that was happening. But the same woman, Marie Bonaparte, she actually had her own surgery done to her own clitoris by a Viennese surgeon, Dr. Halben. And she had the different parts of her clitoris removed. So the suspensory ligaments that kind of keep it in place, she had those cut so that her clitoris could sit closer to her vaginal opening. And what that did was increase her sensation. So it actually made sex more pleasurable for her. And from what we know only from her account, she actually found that it was beneficial. However, it's surgery. Is it necessary? Can we have conversations instead to teach our lovers what we like and what we would prefer to have? I'd rather have a conversation than a surgery. So that's just me. So under that human rights violation that I was talking about, like the removal of clitorises, clitoridectomies, FGM for short, female genital mutilation. So we'll just be referring it to FGM for now. Under, like, one of the most common forms of FGM says that there has been something like 200 million girls and women that are currently alive who have had clitoridectomies. So those are ones that are actually, like, accounted for and reported on. The regions that are most affected are taking place, where these are things are taking place, are Asia, the Middle East and West, North and East Africa. And these practices also exist in migrants originating from these regions. So wherever people are moving to, they might still do that even if they've moved to another country. Most of those surgeries are for religious reasons. Sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they are just, hey, that doesn't look right. Just like we were talking about in the 1800s, how if it just didn't look right, they were just going to take care of that and give you a little clitoridectomy while you're at it. Isn't that really something? So if you've had, like, so there's something called clitoromegaly, which is like a large clitoris. It's like a mega clitoris. And that has often been a cause for people to end up having a variation of a clitoridectomy, like a reduction in size. And I would think that that would cause, A, you got scar tissue there now, so loss of sensation. I would think that there's trauma to the area. And if that area gets infected, now you can have a potential loss of clitoris completely. I'm just thinking there's a lot of reasons why not to. The only reason I can think of why you would do this under extreme circumstances is if you have some kind of cancer that is like literally rotting your clitoris away, and it's rotting it away at such an alarming rate that you have to have it removed. So you can get, not that anybody wants it, not putting it out there for anyone, but clitoral cancer is real. It does exist. I don't have the stats on how often people are reported having it, but I do know it exists. And it's brutal. It's brutal. So if you think about all those nerve endings and then you're getting that removed, your mobility changes, your ability to sit will change, your pleasure completely changes, your self-evaluation as a sexual being will probably be quite different. There's probably a lot of stuff around, probably even for that to start to occur on the emotional front, there's probably a lot of self-loathing around sexuality or feeling dirty or gross around sex or feeling dirty or gross around the genitals, because there's great information out there by a doctor whose name was Dr. Hammer. He was a German doctor, and he was able to track things like anomalies in the body like cancers, and he created in his lifetime 50,000 brain scans that were able to figure out where anomalies were happening in the body. Like, say, for example, he could see in the brain where a cancer would be, and then he might be able to talk to the patient about, you know, what their history was, and he could backtrack and find out what the issue was, and then he would use other methods to help them heal that. And he had phenomenal results with his work. So there are a lot of other versions of taking care of cancers other than the ones you hear about in mainstream, which would be like full removal, chemotherapy, radiation. I just want you to know there's a lot of options out there. And if you want to know what some more of them are, feel free to connect with me. I'm happy to get on with you, direct you to experts in different fields that you might not have ever heard about that are super effective with healing these things that we think are unhealable. So yeah, that is something that we can get on a call about. Oh, just thinking about that, I just feel for anybody who's ever had that, and if you have, and if you're struggling with, you know, feeling sexual again, I just want you to know your clitoris is not the only part of your body that's erogenous. Every part of your body can be erogenous. It just happens to be that, you know, one of the main spots that we talk about as an erogenous zone, especially with all those nerve endings, especially because it's been so hidden for so long. It's like, it's coming out of hiding. It's coming out of the hood. And it's like, we're having these discussions now, but your body in and of itself can be fully erogenous if, you know, your body is ready, it's relaxed, it feels received, doing things like different touch methods, like the wheel of consent, or playing with different methods on how to feel seen and heard and be able to communicate with your lover. So key. Those things are actually more key than trying to learn a strict method on how to stroke the clitoris. And there are methods out there, absolutely. OM, the orgasmic meditation group, they absolutely have a method, a 15-minute method on what to do with the clitoris. But I always think there's more that can be added. There's more information that can be used. There's more ways of looking at things. And having a method is one way. And then having a conversation and actually asking your partner what they like is more effective than anything. And it's okay if your partner doesn't know. Just be with them until they figure it out, right? So I'm cute like that. I have a lot more patience for having people figure things out when it comes to sex and their bodies than I do with other things. I know that about me. Other things like, hey, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Pick. So, but if it's like, hey, where would you like to be touched? I don't know. Cool. Let's sit with that. Let's sit with that and see how you feel. So yeah, that's me. Anyhow, what else did I want to tell you guys about? I have a few more things I want to tell you guys about before we spend the last segment just talking about some of the methods, you know, some of the ideas of, you know, just knowing what to do and how to have those conversations. So, guys, I'm so sweaty right now. It's crazy. Just letting you know, in case you're looking at me wondering, why is she looking so sweaty? I am looking so sweaty. Oh, here was a fun fact, and I'll talk about more about this when we come back. I checked out to see are there any current worshippers of the clitoris, and in fact there are. There is a Church of the Clitori, and this was written up in the Sydney Morning Herald, so Sydney, Australia, in 2023. There was a festival, Sydney Fringe Festival, where the heart at the heart of the Church of the Clitori, there were two women shown in this fe in the festival as in. There was like a celebration of their body parts that were being, shown to the public. So it was very sort of a taboo situation going on there. And I think that's super fun. So the women who are in charge of the Church of the Clitori are Malika Reese. Not Malika, like when people look at my name and think it's Malika Reese, like Reese Witherspoon, and Lillian Rodriguez Pangs. They have a show that's, they consider it a show, the Church of the Clitori. Shows focus on historical, religious, and clinical education surrounding female genitalia. I love it. If they ever do this again in Sydney, I've got friends in Australia. Holy crap, would I ever love to go and see this live. Maybe it's even on YouTube. I have no idea. Anyhow, wanted to share that with you guys. How cool is it that there is the Church of the Clitori? So when we come back, we're going to figure out how to worship clitorises too, because that's part of the fun of it. It's actually quite a reverence. And how do we have fun revering something that is so magical? Let's find out. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I just had a little burp before we came back. In case you heard that, you're like, what was that? That was me. That was me having a little burp live for you guys. You're welcome. Anyhow. We're talking about clitorises today. We talked a little bit about the anatomy, what it's actually comprised of, how the part that you see is just the tip of the iceberg, my friends. There's so much more to it. Remember, it's like turn your fingers, your first finger and your middle finger into a V shape, flip it upside down, and that's kind of the shape you get for a clitoris. Well, you could go the other way too, just depends. And there, right at the tip of the clitoris, you got the little nub. The head, the glands. There you go. You got the crura, little legs, and the glands. There's more parts to it, but you really, unless you really want to have like the entire anatomy of a clitoris memorized, those are kind of the main things to know about. Because sometimes just that one little area, just the glands, is what's stimulated, but you can actually kind of stimulate all of it just being more diligent. More, what's the word for it? Methodical, and just observing how your partner reacts. But also, da-da-da-da, mystery, have communication. Because guess what? If your partner doesn't actually know how to give themselves pleasure, they probably don't know how to educate you on that. So then it becomes like a very fun experimental play for both of you, which will require a lot of feedback. Like, yes, I liked that. Maybe a little lighter, maybe a little more, maybe press a little harder, maybe slow down. You can give feedback. Give feedback that is like, yes, that I really like that. Stay with that. And if some of it is just like, nah, I don't like any of it, then see what you do like. Maybe it's step away from the clitoris for a second and try something else, because the clitoris can get stimulated in fascinating ways. Like even through spanking, your clitoris, the nerves coming around your buttocks, are all kind of all connected in this, like there's a lot of them, and they're all kind of like jumbled in there. So sometimes while spanking your bum, you can actually stimulate the clitoris. It's indirect, but it works. And I'm not the only weirdo that's experienced that. So you can absolutely find other methods. It doesn't have to be direct contact. That's why it's important to have conversation. What do you like? What would you like to try? We start with that. We can also start with the whole concept of, like we talked about, the church of the clitori. Create your own little sort of worship, whether it's for your own, which I think is a great idea, to actually love and adore your own body, especially if you're not feeling it. And if you're not really sure how to move from not feeling it to being able to love it, definitely connect with me through militsayelenich.com. That's my name. So where you see it on the screen, or if you're hearing it, militsajelenich.com. Connect with me. You can book a time with me, and we can get on and talk about how do you move from like rejection of your genitals to admiration of your genitals, even reverence, from rejection to reverence. Maybe that's where we're going to, and revering them. So how do you do that? Is first of all, you got to see about what some of the thoughts are that you have around that. Like, what are you judging your genitals as? Are they ugly? Are they useless? Are they dirty? Like, let's find out what your judgment is. Let's see where that came from. Let's flip that shit around and get some new thoughts going on in there. And then start to play with some different tips and tools. Like, just look at your vulva. Betty Dodson was amazing for that, her and her mirror method, where she would get you to get a mirror out and just look at your vulva. And in looking at your vulva, you're also going to see your clitoris there. Maybe yours is hidden too, but you can expose the area so that you can see it. If you have had trauma to the area, then, doing different things, like very simple things, even just putting your hand above where the trauma is, like on your pubic bone, not necessarily right on the clitoris, put your hand on there and just let your hand warm up, right? Kind of like doing energy work to your body. It is actually energy work, just maybe you're not trained or whatnot. It's okay. It's your own hands on your own body. So when you're doing that, if you have thoughts that are coming up that are like, oh, this is weird, this is gross, yucky, yuck, yuck, well, that's going to go into your body. So if those thoughts come up, hands off, take some deep breaths, in for five, out for five, in for five, out for five, till you feel your body calm. Hand back on the body, in for five, out for five, in for five, out for five. Be present with your body while your hand is on the area that has had the trauma, whether it's, for today, we're talking about the clitoris. So hand on the clitoris. If there was violation done to your body, if there was surgeries done, if there were clitoridectomies done, if there was judgment placed on you, any of that is going to affect you. We got to bring the love back. We got to flip that stuff around so that your body knows that you love it and that you want to have be friends with it, that you would like to have pleasure with it. Your clitoris is magical. I've known that my clitoris was magical for most of my life. I knew it could do things. I just didn't know how magical it was. But the fact that being able to even stimulate your clitoris and then it can calm down your nervous system. If you can calm down your nervous system, your body can heal. So stimulating your clitoris can be incredibly healing. Stimulating your clitoris can also help you get out of a lot of different mindsets where maybe there has been trauma, but you can shift and turn those things around. And I've talked about that on a lot of different shows, like how to use self-pleasure to reclaim your body, reclaim your pleasure, and flip things around so that you're not subject to that anymore. I hope you guys enjoyed all this fun talk about the clitoris, because I love the clitoris, have a clitoris, I enjoy my clitoris. And I hope you take time to enjoy your clitoris this week too. Talk to it, let it talk to you.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.